Overkill, profusion, excess, surplus, too much, abundance. When it comes to the body of Christ, God is just a big show-off, heaping spiritual gifts on his people in an embarrassment of riches.
I'm Laura Pace.
And I'm Jessica Denny.
You're listening to Embarrassment of Riches, where we explore the wisdom, passion, power, and grace that God has showered on the women of Dallas Bible.
Hello, welcome to Embarrassment of Riches. We are so excited to have you join us this evening. We have Alicia Pearson with us tonight.
One of my favorites.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yes. Laura, I took you out of the whole mix and didn't even say hello to you tonight.
Because I liked it better. I thought that was a win for everyone.
Okay. Maybe we'll just do that.
I think we
just
do that.
Take the awkward
You're
out
a natural. I am an unnatural.
Well, I don't know about that, but we definitely don't seem to be able to begin the program without some level of awkwardness.
You know, I have a hard time
And if it's not there, I'll bring it.
Yeah, that's good. I have a hard time listening to the podcast, but I did listen to the intro the other day, and it was just as bad as I had created it in my mind. So I thought, it's better that I just don't listen, and it's better that I probably don't say anything. I was actually practicing in the shower before I came here how I would say hi, but you just bypassed that, and I think that was a good choice. Anyway, Alicia, thank you for being here.
Yes,
we're so glad you're here.
Yes. I feel like I'm on TV. I just fluffed my hair and just got it in position.
Well, Laura and I joke that we frequently look at the microphones.
Yes.
Yes, like as if they are cameras. Yes. We're just preparing for our future with a talk show. Mm-hmm. Well, just a quick background on how we know you for the listeners. You are in our small group.
Yes, small group, so this is really fun, and then Laura and I have kids that are at the same school, both same grade, and so that is fun that there's overlap both ways.
Well, tell us about yourself, just a quick bio of your background, and just basically to
who you
now.
Are, where you're from.
Yes.
If you can't tell, she's not from Minnesota.
No. So get into faith part now or just kind of...
Just basic bio now.
Okay.
Like
where
child,
are you from?
Okay. Where are you
who
from?
Who are your people?
My
where
people.
Is that precious accent stem from?
So I grew up until I was 12 in like deep southeast Texas, like pine trees, woods.
The pine curtain.
Yes. Like across the border from Louisiana. So,
what city?
Little town of 1,500 people. It was called Newton.
Wow. Oh, okay.
And so, just pine woods, got locked outside by my mom, and we just had to play outside all day. And so...
Don't come back
yes,
till the sky is pink.
Yes. So, played outside, my dad grew corn, and my sister and brother and I would set up a corn stand on the road and sell dozens of ears of corn to passersby, and then go spend our money at the convenience store across the street on all kinds of Laffy Taffy and stuff like that.
That sounds so fantastic.
So, grew up in deep southeast Texas, one of four kids, and then in junior high, we moved to central Texas, so a little bit more centrally located. Another small town, a little bit bigger, 5,000 people. And
well, that was like triple the size.
Yeah, there was a Walmart. There was a Walmart. We still drove to Super Walmart an hour away for groceries.
Oh my gosh.
Just parents, four kids. I went to school at Texas Tech and then moved to Dallas to get my master's degree. And I'm married to Keith and we have three kids. Just had a new one 4 months ago.
That's crazy that she's 4 months old.
Yes, 4 months.
And how long have you and Keith been married?
So we've been married almost 12 years.
And how did y'all meet?
So I moved to Dallas. I went to school at Texas Tech, and I had never been to Dallas as an adult. And so I came to Dallas for a wedding, and I thought, oh my gosh, if there's this many cute guys at this wedding, think of how many are all over Dallas. And so I went back and changed my major and graduated a semester early and just moved to Dallas and did not know anybody.
Because of the cute guys.
Because of the cute guys. And I thought, I'm going to go and get a master's degree in speech pathology. I know I want to do that. I can do that there. There's cute guys. It was at a church, and I went, the wedding was at...
Because when you grew up in a town of 5,000 or 1,500, the ratio of cute guys is much lower.
Right. Yeah. And so I moved here and started going to that church only because I saw that there had been cute guys at that wedding at that church.
Were there cute guys at their attending?
Yes.
There continued to be.
Yes, it was a singles group. And so I truly threw myself in the singles group just to meet people. And it was awkward and vulnerable. And I showed up to everything, every service project, every Bible study. I was actually interested in the Sunday school teacher and had a crush on him. And then Keith showed up to an event and I met him and, you know, we just started talking, saw each other a month later at another singles Black Christmas party.
How did he capture your attention at the Christmas party?
Because he was in a back room, like in a closet, drinking wine with some other people. It was like church Christmas party, so it was kind of taboo to be drinking wine out in front of everybody.
I don't know if I've ever brought this up in a podcast, but when, you know, I've talked about state school versus Bible college mm-hmm. people at seminary. Whenever I went to seminary parties, and for the listeners, I am using air quotes around party, because growing up in Louisiana, we would not call what I had attended in seminary a party, mm-hmm. but
it was more of a quiet gathering.
Well, there was compulsory singing.
Oh, wow. I would not have done well.
Okay. Like praise and worship singing.
Oh, God. Uh-huh.
And, there were icebreakers at the party where, like, let's sit, we're going to compel
I feel like you're describing summer camp.
Compel yeah. everyone to come and sit in this one room, even though you were, you know, mingling in the other room talking. And we're going to compel you all to come in this one room, sing praise and worship songs, and also ask everyone to share what is their favorite toothpaste and why. That was a seminary party. That sounds like...
I have no response for that.
Right. I would like to have been hiding in a closet with Keith drinking wine at that party.
Yeah, that sounds better.
I tried to hide, but...
And did y'all do trust
there
balls?
There was no wine. Trust balls.
They had a ropes course set up back.
Team building. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he was drinking wine, so I was like, who is this guy? And so we talked again. And he got my information, and we joke, and I tell him he didn't let me be single in Dallas very long. And that's okay. So, yeah.
He was a cute boy that caught your attention.
Yes,
so
sure.
it sounds like that you came to Dallas as a believer.
Yes.
So how did you become a believer?
It's one of those, when I listened to your podcast a while back, and it was one of those where I kind of feel like I've always been a believer, but I grew up in a house where it was definitely, my mom was a strong believer. She took us to church every Sunday, but my dad never went with us. So we kind of had this divided house as far as church went. He kind of deferred all of that raising stuff to her, and as far as like pouring into us spiritually and things like that. And so it is because of my mom and her obedience to God to just pour into us, even if my dad couldn't, that, you know, I have the faith I have today. So I feel like I was always a believer, but I know that I had it wrong, because I definitely felt like I was supposed to have a moment, and I don't know that I ever just had one big moment. Mm-hmm. And so I was caught in the constant cycle of feeling like I had to do enough, be good enough,
pray
look good
right
enough,
prayer.
Pray the right prayer. The first time I messed up, I felt like I lost salvation and had to ask him back into my heart again. I felt like I, for years and years, did that cycle.
And that's a Jessica Denny-ism that I learned from you, that whole, like, the language behind ask Jesus to come live in your heart, that can be confusing.
Yes.
Like, it has to be, it's just belief.
Yes.
That is the most important.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why, like, what you're saying about, like, with kids that grow up in homes where they're just taught the faith, they don't always have, sometimes they have an aha moment.
Right.
But a lot of times they just gradually come to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And come to understand.
Mm-hmm. So I definitely was in wanting to do everything right, in all the youth group activities, pouring myself into those, and definitely more too, because I had siblings that were making other choices, so I felt like I had to be really good and really good for my parents.
Where are you in the lineup?
So I'm number 3 of 4.
Okay.
So I was the peacemaker.
And your youngest sister goes to Dallas Bible too, right?
Yeah, she goes to Dallas Bible, so that's been really fun. So I thought that with choices others were making, I had to not burden my parents with any kind of choice I was going to make. So do good, be good, throw myself into every church activity.
Lots of works.
Yes. Every high school activity, every club. I mean, I was in it. I didn't even want to be a teacher, and I was the president of Future Teachers of America. I mean, it was like, I mean, I was on the mock trial team like a witness on the stand, and I had no interest and couldn't, like.
I think that's the name of the episode.
But you married an attorney.
Yeah, and I married an attorney, but I was in everything just because it looked good. I wanted to be good. And so.
Maybe she's a 3.
Maybe.
So I went to college a believer, but that's one of my biggest regrets, is that I didn't. College was not some really life-changing experience for me like it is for some people. I liked it. I didn't just love it. I didn't get plugged into a church, which I look back now and kind of makes me sad. I just kind of, several friends from high school were there. I just hung out with them, let them be my friends. So I think I was ready to just get to Dallas. And this is kind of where I feel like I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Not really college, but really in Dallas. And it's really made me who I am and kind of given me more of the life experiences than just how college is for some other people. And so really moving to Dallas and getting plugged in to just really strong Bible churches, I felt like I was hearing the gospel for the first time. Just hearing it with clear eyes and clear head and clear heart of who God was, that I did not lose my salvation, and just really understanding what grace was. Mm-hmm. I did not understand grace. And that I couldn't lose it. But there was nothing I was going to do to get any further along either. There were no choice that my siblings made that was anything worse than what I had done, have been doing, continue to do. So, and I think that's what I thought for so long, is like, you know, a little better, or,
sure,
you know, things like that, because I'm trying to do everything right. And so,
or kind of that mentality of, I can make God love me more, and there's something I can do that can make God love me less.
Right, exactly that. And so getting plugged into good churches, I'd never done anything before like community groups or Bible studies. And so just getting plugged into those. So I've just seen my faith really grow, being at churches where I was hearing truth, hearing gospel, hearing what grace was, getting plugged in with other believers. And then being a wife and a mom has just grown my faith exponentially, because I didn't even, this is the whole grace thing, I didn't know how sinful I was until husband and kids, of just like,
yeah, you never think you have anger or patience issues until you're faced with a toddler.
You don't know how ugly your heart is until, I mean.
Everybody looks good alone on a log.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That's right. Yes. I mean.
I never would have thought. The depth of my selfishness and
yes.
sin and anger and entitlement has definitely shown as a mother.
Yes, yeah. And I just want ease and comfort. Like, those are my idols, or ease and comfort. I mean, I'll just be honest that I didn't even know if we were going to have a third, because I had gotten mine to the point of potty trained, in school, brushing their own teeth. I could not imagine starting over and not having the ease and comfort of just like laying in bed, watching a movie or reading a book while my kids are playing outside. Mm-hmm. And so God has just showed me over the past year or two.
Wait,
just,
is that not okay?
No, you can still want that.
Well, I have that. Do you feel like I'm being called out?
No.
I have an 18-month-old as my youngest, and I still question if we should have four.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, okay, every time I hear my kids in the background, I know it doesn't show up or, you know, like you can't hear it in the audio, but when I hear my kids in the background, I imagine that viral video that went around like about a year ago where the man was like on the news and they were interviewing him in his house, and then his wife, a baby came toddling in, and then his wife came running in with her pants half down like she had been in the bathroom to come grab the kid up out of like...
I mean, this is like on Fox News or CNN or something like that.
I've watched that video at least 15 times. It makes me laugh so hard, but every time I hear my kids, I'm like, one of them's going to bust in here.
It'll happen one of these days. It'll be great.
Yes. Well, Alicia, you kind of told us about how you came to faith and that it was just a gradual mm-hmm. process. What do you think are your spiritual gifts? How do you think God's gifted you uniquely?
I was thinking about this, and it's hard to talk about yourself because you don't want to feel braggy or, mm-hmm. you know, but my mom, I keep getting pointed back. I don't know if I was in 7th or 8th grade, but we went to a revival. Somebody was prophesying, and somebody prophesied over me in 7th or 8th grade that it's that AT&T 80s commercial, you're going to reach out and touch somebody.
Did they really say that?
He really said that. He said, you're going to reach out and touch people. And he's, you know, we had laughed about the commercial, but he said, you're going to reach out and touch people. And so I have held that with me, and I was really thinking about that the other day, but I have loved people forever. I was thinking about this too. At our little church, a mom would pick us up, and we thought it was fun to go hang out at the nursing home. We would, and this is just a small town nursing home that they would let elementary age kids just wander around unsupervised and wander into people's rooms. But we would color pictures, and the mom would go like talk at the nurse's station, and I just wandered into people's rooms. I didn't even know. At the time, I would laugh and think, oh, why are they repeating the same thing? Or why is she wandering around with her shirt off? Or, I mean, those things really happened. But I loved being there. I would brush their hair and braid it. I would do bingo. I would bring them things from home, little trinkets. So that was a constant. Getting dropped off at the nursing home, that's a memory of just how much I loved people. There was a lady who wandered around our town, just kind of that crazy cat lady in a dilapidated house. And we drove by one time and I told my mom, I want to meet her. And so my mom like had to call the courthouse to find out who it was who lived in that house. We called her, went over with a loaf of bread. She would only let us in the very front part of her house because there were so many cats. She ended up coming to our house for years, for holidays. We would take her grocery shopping. I would go with her to the grocery store. I have just always loved people. And so...
Well, and beyond just loving people, you've had a heart for people in need.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I love that. I love relationships. And that's... I really feel like my job as a speech therapist at a hospital, I just get to, it's really relational.
Reach out and touch someone?
Yes, reach out and touch someone. It's just very relational. And so I mean, I have family members that want my cell phone number, and if it's after they're not my patient anymore, sometimes I'll give it to them, and they want to keep up with me afterwards, or I want to keep up with them, or... You just get very close to people when you're working with them in their most vulnerable moments mm-hmm. and just get to be there for them and love on them.
I could totally see how people would be drawn to to keep you in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
I remember one of our first interactions was at field day, uh-huh. like when we had kindergartners, yeah. I think. And you and I were in the same area, and it wasn't like a really heavily trafficked right. area. We were like the potato sack race, yes. and there's like water slide bounce houses. So we weren't the top priority for the kids. But I just remember you just had such an ease and confidence. And we're just very friendly and reaching out and touched me.
yes.
But you, I thought, like, I want to know her more. And I was so excited when we were in the same small group at Thank church you. Because you just have an ease about you
yeah.
That's very comfortable to be around.
Well, thanks.
I agree. Now, I have a great edit alert.
Okay.
So you talking about bragging on yourself plus your particular areas of giftedness, which is reaching out to people mm-hmm. in vulnerable states, mm-hmm. made me think about when Kyle and I first came to Dallas Bible. Have I shared this about us taking the spiritual gift inventory when we were in the Discover Dallas Bible
oh,
class?
No.
Uh-uh.
Okay, so it had probably been, let's say 15 years or so since Kyle and I had taken a spiritual gift inventory. So we go to the class and we come home and we've got those.
I'm just impressed that y'all had ever taken a spiritual gift inventory before that.
You haven't?
Have you met me?
I know the Born Playa may have not, like, but no. At one point, weren't you in a college ministry? I think it was, like, let's say college ministry or something. I don't know, but yes, I certainly have taken it. I went to seminary, for heaven's sake.
That's true.
Okay,
That's
there
true.
Is that. I have no idea when I'd taken a spiritual gift inventory, but it wasn't the first time. Anyway, we sit down, I blow through it, okay? And there's, like, maybe, I don't know, like, 70 questions. And that, like, from a scale of 0 to 5, you're supposed to rate yourself on, like, how much you agree with the statement, like strongly agree or like strongly disagree being 0. And so, you know, some of the stuff are like, I like to help people and, you know, and make sacrifices for other people. Or I would like to suffer for Christ. You know, like, and there's like questions like this. Kyle is, like, deliberating over every line. He gives up halfway through and is just, like, he's, like just, you know,
poo-poo on the whole thing.
Despairing right. because he's, like, this is just too hard. And I was, like, why? And he's, like, I just feel horrible about myself. And then I, you know, I encouraged him to, like, just finish it. I was, like, he's, like, I'm going to have, like, 10, like, I'm not, that's what I, like, that's what my score is gonna be, so, on, you know, there's, like, the different ones, he's, like, it's just horrible, and so, he finishes it, I've already finished it, we look at it, and, of course, like, my scores on everything are, like, you know, about 30 points higher than his, and he's, like, despairing, and I'm like, Kyle, you're married to me, you know this isn't true, any question that I answered with the 3 could easily be replaced with a 0, okay,
yeah. I was like, just can't put that, right?
I just can't put 0, like, I have 0 interest in suffering for Christ, I just don't want to write that down, you put, honestly, put 0, I put 3, like, so, just, like, subtract 30 from everything of mine because, you know, like, I'm not going to write 0. I don't want to help people, but, like, uh-huh. you know, I am inflating my scores.
Yeah, yours was the standard deviation from honest.
Yeah, yours is honest. Mine is, like, not totally honest because I'm, like, you know, maybe a little bit. But I started teasing him and calling him Beelzebub. After that, like, Beelzebub doesn't want to help people, doesn't want to suffer for Christ.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's hard.
It is.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But I would totally agree that your giftedness, I mean, it makes it obvious because your career is in serving yeah. others in super vulnerable states. And, I mean, you've told some stories about patients that can be pretty yes. hard on you yeah. And that you still have so much grace for and find so much joy in your work. I know being home with Eden for 3 months was hard yes. for you because you care about your job so
yeah.
much.
Yeah, it was hard. It was definitely hard to be home. because I hadn't been home in so long. And it was a sweet time, and it was special. And I was glad to go back. I miss her, and I've worked out where I'm not back as much. So it's a good balance of being part-time, because I do feel like my heart is still at home. Mm-hmm. But I love the opportunity to go to work, love on people. I don't want to climb the corporate ladder. I don't want to mm-hmm. be the manager. I just want to see my patients and do my paperwork. Mm-hmm. And not that I give 85% anybody, but I just want to see my patients.
You give 100% in the lane that
yes.
you're in.
Yes, yes, yes. But I want to stay in my lane. I have no I've never been one to aspire to just move up. Mm-hmm. I'm just so happy with where I'm at. And I've been doing, you know, it for 12 years, and I'm just happy to be right there. So,
well, why don't you tell us about how you serve at church at DBC?
I am a greeter, and I
love greeting. Of course you
yes.
are, with your little southern drawl.
And I greeted at the first church Keith and I met at was Northwest Bible Church, and I was greeting when I met him. So that is just, I love welcoming people into church. Sometimes I might want to talk too long. They're mm-hmm. ready to like get on in there and get the seat. But I do. I love welcoming people. I've gotten my kids to come with me some. And so they're getting to see what a joy it is to just welcome people into church.
And I saw that, and I texted you about this. On Sunday, Campbell, my second daughter, was having a hard time going into her class because we just haven't been in church mm-hmm. that much this summer with just trips and going to the lake and stuff. And Holland was sipping on her coffee.
Decaf, everybody, decaf.
She was sipping on her coffee and, you know, just kind of
beep bopping
over to our family. And she's excited to see Campbell because they go to school together and church together. And she walks on to class with us. And Campbell was having a hard time going into her class. She started crying, which was odd for her. And Holland came over and just stood next to her and put her hand on her shoulder and just kind of waited it out. And then they walked in together. It was so sweet.
That is so sweet.
I could see her mama in her.
That's very sweet to hear. Thank you for sharing that.
So we know that your giftedness is people mm-hmm. and loving on people mm-hmm. and loving on, I think, some difficult people. And I remember, too, when Revive Texas was here. That you just had such a heart for that ministry and going out and telling people about Jesus. With your giftedness and your heart for Christ, what would be your big prayer? We say on the show, big ask with a K, mm-hmm. your big ask prayer for how God would use your giftedness in your life and what that would look like.
I know, that was hard to think of. I don't know. It seems like everything now is centered around, Keith is tired of me. He says, how much longer are you going to use this? But I always say, oh, I'm 35 with 3 kids. So everything just seems exhausting mm-hmm. right now. It's just, I feel like that's where I'm at. It's just mm-hmm. 35 and 3 kids. And so whenever he asks me to do something or so, I'm just like, I'm 35, 3 kids. I don't know right now. Like, I don't know. So,
just let me sit here and don't touch
yes,
me.
I think the big ask or the big prayer is sometimes I'm so invested at work and I use so many words at work, and I'm definitely an extrovert, but as I've gotten older, I just need those introverted moments. So I give a lot to work and I'm really smiley and happy and want to be that loving person for my patients. So it's definitely easy to come home and not give those same gifts to my family. It's easy to, I don't have any more words. I've talked out today. It's easy to really turn it on for patients. And even though it's authentic and genuine, it's easy to come home
and
withdraw mm-hmm. and not do that for my kids and husband and give them what I'm giving at work.
There's so much truth in that. And it's so convicting because, you know, I'll talk to my kids all day about, mm-hmm. you would never treat your friend the way you're treating your sister right now. Save your best, give your best at home, just like you would give your best to your friend. And I'm like, oh gosh, that's true for me too, because I definitely will do kind of uplifting things for friends and like call Kaylin and tell him how terrible the day is going. Like, you know, just like, It is. We give our best away from home.
Yeah. And so I definitely work as a ministry, but my big ask would be that I would see home as a ministry and invest in my kids as a ministry and love on my husband as a ministry. So I think right now that is my big ask.
Oh, that's so important. Mm. And so, you know, it seems simple, but that can be so complicated when that's, you know, you just, sometimes you want someone, I know you've said, Jessica, before, like when things go hard here, you and Kyle can maybe sometimes try to blame each other.
That's what I say. The Denny's motto is when things go bad, blame each other.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So it is so easy to do that. Yeah. Even though that's the person you love the most, that's who you're with in the trenches, you kind of want to let your frustration hair down.
All of my problems boil down to Kyle not nesting the pots and pans properly. that's really the sum total.
It's where you can narrow your focus in when other things.
That's really where my rage centers.
Yes.
Hey, Alicia, tell us about a time in your life where you feel like God really showed up for you, like maybe a difficult season or something like that, where you feel like God really showed up.
I don't know if it's been just one. I thought about this one too. I don't know if it's been just one huge thing where it was just this big aha moment or just constant faithfulness of things, of having one that struggles in school, but seeing how God is growing him and using him and seeing the growth in that. And it's just constant school year of September through May, just constant prayer and on my knees for this one, but to see how God is just lovingly growing him. And even though sometimes it's not always, you know, it's hard to see that growth, how he's lovingly growing him. And then just we've had seasons of job loss, it seems like, in our family. And just God's constant provision of we've never been without. Like, he's always provided another job, even if it's not the one that my spouse would necessarily want to take right then. He is just always providing, giving us exactly what we need. He's, like I had said about not knowing if I wanted a third. I didn't know if I could do it again. And it wasn't just an aha moment of you're going to have a third child, but it was a year of him working on my heart, and just his faithfulness in that season of, I'm calling you to this and I am going to equip you and giving you everything you need. And obviously now that she's here, we wouldn't know what to do without her, but you know, it hasn't been one big thing for me, but it's all the ways he just shows up every day in every moment for me.
I love what you're saying, and talking about God's provision and how he shows up for you, like in that constant provision. One of the things that I try to remind myself and I'm trying to teach my kids is that ability to trust him, that sometimes when problems arise, like job loss or you know, financial difficulties or family tumult or whatever, that those are opportunities to trust God and how wonderful it is to be on the other end of that. Mm-hmm. And that it's a blessing sometimes to have those roadblocks because you get to see God show up. Right. You get it, like without those, like those things to actually build your faith is not it gives quality and tangible aspects to your faith where it's like you can actually see and recount how he has showed up. Not just that you are mouthing that he's faithful. You see his faithfulness. And we had Lydia just this last week. We were out of town, and you know, Lydia was wanting to play club volleyball this year. And so she's been kind of putting all her eggs in one basket with a particular club that she wanted to play for. And we were on vacation in Virginia, and I got an email from the club that, like, they had changed the rules and when the tryouts, or when they were choosing, and so they had started moving up the offers. And so they're like, we strongly recommend that, you know, if you were planning on doing the evaluation camps next week, that you do them this week instead, because we're already starting to give out offers. And when Lydia heard that, and we're in Virginia, she's devastated because she is thinking, they're not going to have a spot for me by the time I get back to try out. Like, I'm not, there's not going to be anything left. And it was really awesome to be able to pray with her, like, in the car right then, and go, hey, honey, we don't know that. What we do know is that God is faithful and that God works things out for his people. And that doesn't always mean that we get what we want, but we know that God's not upstairs shaking in his boots, worried about this. He has known this since the beginning of time. So you don't have to worry about this. He has got this covered. He knows what is best for you, and he has got this covered. So let's just pray about it. Let's just trust him that he knows what's best for you. And sure enough, in spite of that, she got to go to her trial and got a position. She got on the team she wanted, and so she's super excited. But so yesterday she got that offer, and so afterwards, like, that follow up with her was, I was like, hey babe, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember what it felt like last week when we got that email, and the worry that you had. I want you to remember that God is there. I want you to remember that God shows up. Now, that doesn't mean that it always works out the way we want it to be, but he has not forgotten us. He has not forsaken us. He is always walking with us, and he has our best interest at heart.
And we call those things the little things because we know that they are little to God.
Right.
But to me, those are the most humbling, that God provides a job. That God provides a volleyball position when, I mean, and obviously, yes, sometimes God says no, and it doesn't work out the way we think we want it to, even though usually hindsight, it's like, oh, that's what he was doing. But I think those little things, for me, can be more faith-growing than even some of the bigger moments in my life, because it's just like, God, you care about this?
Right.
You care about this? You're in this too, this tiny little thing, you're in this too. And that, for me, like, that's what gets me even more excited about my faith, is you showed up in this time, even in the no sometimes, in the no for little things, looking back going, I wanted that so badly, and you knew better. And that increases my faith for the next no.
That almost happened. I almost married a no.
I wanted to marry a no.
I think back, and I'm like, wow, that was a nice save, God.
Yeah,
nice
save. Well done, sir.
Well done, sir. That's right. Big guy.
So I love that you are noticing that those little things amount to such huge things for your faith, for your kids' faith. And I mean, I'm because we're in small group, because we're at school, I've known what you've faced with your son and just this year. And I've seen you walk through it so faithfully and having some heartbreaking moments for him and just continually turning and going, God, how do you want me to handle this? What does this look like? Reaching out and seeking wise counsel. Standing up for him when you need to, trying to use them as teachable moments for his faith and just growth in his character. And I've just been so impressed with how you and Keith have done that.
Thank you.
Well, I think that we've kind of covered everything.
We didn't do Bible trivia.
No, we did not do Bible trivia. I'm still licking my wounds from a couple of weeks ago, like not knowing where a verse came from, and you were like, "Well, since it's talking about Jesus, I think New Testament." So that felt good. That feels good still. But we just love you so much.
Yes,
so grateful that you came on and did this, and I know people are just going to love hearing your story.
Thank you. I was glad to share it. So, yeah. Love you guys.
Well, we're glad you're here. Thanks for joining us on Embarrassment of Riches. We'll see you next time.